Good morning. Happy New Year. It's my pleasure to welcome you to Asbury Methodist. I don't think we have any visitors this morning. You think? So, if we have a visitor out there, we certainly welcome you, and we would like to welcome you to this 10:45 service especially. And if you're visiting with us today, this is one of two services. We also have one that we call the Celebration Service in the Wilson Activity Center behind us. And as you worship here in the sanctuary, let's be praying for that service as well. We've got one reminder is that if you would please fill out the registration forms at the end of the pew so we can just keep up with the accountability. Couple of announcements. Our church is planning our church planning retreat be held in the church Saturday, January the 13th. Your presence is very much requested, and your input is also so vital in the planning process of Asbury for the upcoming year. So please make plans to be in attendance for that. It's 9 till noon, Saturday, January 13th. The Faith Family Dinners will begin again on January the 17th, so be watching for that, for those inserts in your bulletin, and for the emails letting you know the menu and for those upcoming Wednesday night gatherings. Also, the pastors and the staff of Asbury would like to take this time to wish everyone a wonderful, safe, and prosperous new year. I don't know if you know the mission statement of Asbury, but it is a faith family sharing Christ to meet the needs of all people. So let's make this mission statement a part of our New Year's resolutions to reach out and to reach people and welcome them into our faith family. So now also look in the back of your bulletin to see all things happening in the church in the upcoming weeks. And now let us pass the peace of Christ. Our call to worship this morning is a choral call to worship, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, on page 204. Please stand. Please remain standing for our hymn of praise, We Three Kings, on page 254.
Good morning. How are you this morning? Good. Good. For this last day in 2017. Wow. Do you know what a resolution is? You ever heard of them? Can anybody out there tell me what a resolution is? What does that mean? Anybody know? Anybody make resolutions?
It's a promise to yourself.
Yeah, you're going to do something. You're going to make a promise, right? You're going to make a promise that you're going to keep, because a promise is a promise, right? Well, you know, so at a lot of times people at the first of the new year say, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. So you can make a promise. You know, I can think of a few things. Let's see, you could promise that, okay, I'm going to give up all video games. It means you're not going to play video games next year. No, okay. I'm going to clean up my room every day. No, I don't think so either. Okay. No, I'm going to clean up the house for the whole family. Oh, he said yes to that one, so that's a good thing. Okay. Promises are promises. There's this guy named Simeon. Simeon was a priest. He was an older man, and he had promised that he would never die until he met the Messiah. Well, one day, the doors opened at the back of the church, and this mommy and daddy walked through the door, and they're carrying their little baby. And Simeon looked out and he said, "Behold, the Messiah." And they brought the babe up, and Simeon looked at him and said, "What is this boy's name?" And he said, "Jesus. Jesus, you are the Christ." And Simeon knew then that the promises that he had made and the promises God had made back to him had come true, because he was living long enough to meet the new Messiah, the new King of Kings. So you never can tell when you make a promise, when you make a resolution, good things might happen. Can we pray? Okay. Jesus, please be with us this day as we go through 2017, as we finish up, as we go into next year with the people we love, with your love around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This morning, as we lift our hearts in prayer, please keep those people in the bulletin in your hearts and prayers. This morning, Betty White, Charles Ward Sr., Bob McInturf, Dottie Mosley, Dave Mackey, Linda Southern on the death of her brother, and Sabrina Henson on the death of her grandmother. Let us pray. Our most loving Lord, as we come to the end of this year, we reflect on the blessings we have received as well as the trials we have gone through. And there are some that are continuing to go through hardships and trying to create a new normal for their lives. In all our reflection, we can see you right beside us, and in some cases, carrying us along as we have grown too weary to continue. Through the joy and the sorrow, you are always there with us, just as you have promised. As we look forward to the upcoming year, we ask, Father, that you bring peace to our lives, to our land, to this world in a way that only you can. There will always be struggles in the heavenly realms, so we pray for the angels who are doing battle for us, who are protecting us from evil, an evil who would want nothing more than to drive us far from you. Draw us closer to you this year, Father. May we search you with earnest, and in doing so, find like we never have before. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us bless our morning offering. Gracious God, our provider and sustainer, we ask that you bless these tithes and offerings given today. Grant us wisdom to be the stewards we need to be in order to bless others in the same way you have blessed us. And we ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Please remain standing for our hymn of meditation, What Child Is This, on page 219.
Proverbs 22, 1 through 6. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. And the paths of wicked are the snares and pitfalls, but those who preserve their life stay far from them. Start children off on the way that they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, in spite of me or through me, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. What is a memory? If you ask five different people, you will get five different answers. A memory in its most raw form is a connection that is made by a person that ties them to a single event or a single time. Memories can hold such power over us in the positive and in the negative. During Christmas time, memories seem to be stressed of the highest importance. The nostalgias of days gone by, the thoughts of loved ones that are no longer here. I want you to grab that one Christmas memory that roots you to your faith. Keep it in the forefront of your mind. Got it? Good. We'll revisit it in just a little while. As we come to the close of this Advent season, I want us to stop and reflect on the importance of this season, what it means to us as a church, and what it means to us as an individual. Growing up, I always look forward to this time of year. Maybe it was because I could stand up in the front of the church and light the Advent candles when I was little. This was before I was able to be an acolyte. But you have to understand that I grew up in a small church where 90-95% of the time, I was the youngest member there. So getting to do the things that the grown-ups got to do just made it even that much more special. So it was exciting for me, memorizing the scripture, hearing the words. These are early memories of Advent and Christmas for me, and they have helped shape who I am today. The word Advent means coming or arrival. If it is mentioned, especially in the Western world, there are generally two schools of thought. One is the time of year when the church puts the wreath and lights the candles. The other is scenes depicting his birth by different arrays and different designs and locations. There's also that calendar where you open the 1st of December and it lasts through the 24th, and in some occasions, the 25th. I have a strong connection to both. The Advent calendar to me is something that rooted my faith when I was little in understanding of the countdown. I had several I was given over the years to do. Notice I said several. I didn't say how many I insisted on using. There were two. One of them was a little cutesy animal scene. The other, strawberry shortcake. I guess it became a game. The day after Thanksgiving, we'd pull out the Christmas boxes and Mom would say, which Advent calendar are you going to use this year? So I would sit there for a minute and I'd go, strawberry shortcake. You sure you don't want something else? No, strawberry shortcake. And it would go on the wall closest to the door every year. This poor piece of cardboard became so worn and taped together, but the love and the patience associated with that lasted much longer. This is my earliest memory of celebrating Advent before I was old enough to understand what it means and the association with the church. Let's fast forward a year or so to the excitement of lighting that wreath, lighting those candles with Georgie, Maud, or Teresa. I would sit in the front row and patiently wait my turn, being able to memorize the scripture that was said or to light the candles in the correct order. To this day, I'm not sure why such a simple act of lighting a candle made such a profound effect. But sitting there and watching those candles lit and the flames dance as my imagination took hold as the birth was read and retold year after year. Again, memories shaping who I am and how I celebrate it at home and at church. Let's look a little at the history of Advent. This season is celebrated differently throughout the world. For Christians, it signifies the anticipation of the coming of Christ, which can be seen in three different ways: the coming of Jesus as a baby, the coming into our hearts, or the second coming. This time of year, we have set our church apart time to remember the coming of the Messiah. In the Western churches, it signifies the start of the Christian year, while the Eastern Church has an equivalent that's known as Nativity Fast, but does not include the second coming of Jesus in its order of worship. My point is just to gain a deeper understanding of how important the celebration is in our church. The differences are greater than the one sentence, but I will not delve into all of them. We celebrate the story of the birth, the celebration of him coming into our hearts, and the anticipation of the second coming. The originations of Advent are unclear. Some say it originated in the celebration of around 480. Some say it dates back to the apostles. Some credit St. Peter himself. In its early days in the celebration, Christians celebrated by fasting 56 days, later shortened to 40, in line with Lent, to be used at the time of repentance, thinking, and reflection. There are some traditions that still hold to the fasting, while most have relaxed and released the rules through the years. During this time, it was believed that Advent was a preparation for the baptism of new Christians. The fasting period and the repentance were changed in some cases and then completely forgone in others as the views of Christians changed themselves. Again, memories and traditions at work. During this shift in the view from repentance to anticipation and the coming of Christ, somewhere around the 6th century, Roman Christians began to associate Advent with the second coming, not the birth. It wasn't until the Middle Ages that the celebration of the birth became an integral part of Advent as we know it today. During the hustle and bustle of the season, though, unfortunately, it gets overlooked. It's a season of joy, but it's a season to remember the past, the Exodus, the reflections, our history as a church, and also the balance of restoring the faith and connection that God has given to the world. As I said, it's not a history lesson of Advent itself. That would be an entire series. This is meant as food for thought as to why we celebrate and how we celebrate. I began researching these traditions when I was younger to learn the difference among denominations and cultures. All seems to stem from the excitement and the anticipation of watching this flame dance as I was a child. It was a chance to become lost and a chance to gain a deeper understanding. During this time of year, we see certain things in the church: the greens, the wreaths, a Jesse tree, a Chrismon tree, and of course, the nativity. The tradition of the greens and the Advent collectively date back to the winter solstice. Hanging of the greens is a Western tradition. The Advent wreath is seen as an adaptation of time when wreaths were lit in homes and churches to symbolize light, longing for brightness and warmth during the dark winter days. This tradition was adopted during the Middle Ages by the church, and the ring is said to symbolize the continuity of Christ, no beginning, no end, his infinite love to us. The evergreen symbolizes eternal life. The more I learned about the history of Advent, the more I became aware that it wasn't just one culture or one way that led us to who we are. Memories of ancestors, memories of worshipers from the past. In churches, you may also find a Jesse tree or a Chrismon tree. The Jesse tree represents Jesse's lineage taken from Isaiah 11:1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The tradition dates back to the 1500s in paintings, and some argue even earlier. Different symbols are used to represent the lineage and are placed on a tree as the chosen scriptures are read. You also might find a Chrismon tree as we have here. I will admit, I hadn't heard of a Chrismon tree until attending Asbury. This tradition is one of the newer ones collectively around the 1950s that it was introduced into the church. Symbols are white and gold to represent purity and majesty. It's a combination of the words Christ and monogram, and it means symbols of Christ. The symbols and meanings vary slightly depending upon the tradition. All of these are very important, and they shape who we are as a church and as a body of Christ. The importance is not the textbook definition. The importance is not the history in details. It's how different worlds have come together to learn and develop the traditions that you and I celebrate today. The most iconic we see is the Nativity, and I'll admit this one is the one that holds a place in my heart. It's a symbol recognized throughout the world. St. Francis of Assisi is credited with having the first Nativity in 1223. It's important to me for so many reasons. It's a collective symbol of Christmas and Epiphany. The memory that I ask you to grab, put it in the forefront of your mind. This memory, it's of my grandmother, who I had to say goodbye to last week. It involves a nativity scene that was made by her and by her sister. Ceramic, fired, poured, painted, and also the stable that they made. See, things weren't put away when I was little. They were put on the floor where anything or anyone could get a hold of them. That anyone was this little two-year-old that was just toddling around the house. I would lay down with the lights off and play with those characters for hours and hours. And as I played, I had questions. Who are these people? Why are they important? And as always, Nana would take the time to answer those questions. And I began to dig deeper. I began to understand more. Proverbs 22:6, start children off in the way that they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. This verse solidifies my upbringing in the church, my memories that have shaped who I am. Things were different this year. I had a harder time, and it hit me. God was challenging me. You see, the Nativity is more than just a star. It's more than just the shepherds. It's more than the angel. It's more than the birth. The Nativity just is. Have a piece of artwork, and I know it's hard to see. A friend of mine did this, and it's the star, and you have the drip paintings that are radiating down. They're radiating down to a manger. The only thing you see that is a form of human life are feet. No singular depiction of the babe. That's when it hit me. The nativities are all different. Everyone we see, every artist, every country, it's how they see it. That's how we should celebrate Advent. That's how we should celebrate Christmas. Not through my eyes, not through your eyes, through the eyes of the world. And it also hit me too that there was a huge transition this year. I made peace, and that helped me to understand that this calming, chaotic mess that shows in this picture was exactly what I needed, my roots. That memory, hold it, remember it. May it influence you. May you influence others. Maybe it's the greens, maybe it's the Advent wreath, the Jesse tree, the Christmas tree. Maybe it's none of those that help spark who you are and where you are today. Maybe you weren't a child, but we have the childlike faith, full and fresh. Take that memory and run with it. Take the Advent calendar, open the same one every year. Let the flames of the candle and the flames of your heart inspire you as we enter a new year together. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you will join with me in singing our closing hymn, Love Came Down at Christmas, number 242. As we go forth, as we celebrate our new year with our families, with our friends, with our church, remember who you are. Remember whose you are. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.